Welcome to the Lal-D edition of Rare Disease Advisor's Rare Care Podcast, offering unique perspectives from researchers, clinicians, and influencers from the lysosomal acid lipase deficiency community.
Hello, this is Larry Luxner, Senior Correspondent for Rare Disease Advisor. We're talking today with Dr. Henry Lin, a pediatric gastroenterologist and hepatologist and Associate Professor of Pediatrics at Oregon Health and Science University in Portland. Dr. Lin has advanced training in liver transplants and is the only board-certified hepatologist in the state of Oregon. Thank you for speaking with us today.
Thank you, Larry. It's a pleasure to be here.
Dr. Lin, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background?
Absolutely. Well, like you mentioned, I am a pediatric hepatologist, which means that I have a specialized training in pediatric liver diseases. And my practice is primarily clinical in an academic setting, but I'm involved in various studies looking at improving the outcomes of children with pediatric liver disease.
And one of those diseases is, of course, lysosomal acid lipase deficiency, which, as we know, is a very rare condition. Talk a bit about this, would you? And how necessary is it not only to screen for Lal-D, but also how necessary is it to treat the disease?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Lal-D, as we call it, lysosomal acid lipase deficiency, Lal-D, it's a very rare disease. And depending on which studies you look at, you know, it can affect probably around 20 people per 1 million in the general population. But that said, we're still in the learning phases of who best to screen. If we take a step back, you know, historically, when you look at Lal-D, it was used to be known as a cholesterol ester storage disease. And so this is a spectrum of disorders in which you can range in very severe conditions that presents early on in the first few months of life absolutely need to be treated urgently to be identified and treated to a much more mild phenotype. You know, from a medical standpoint, you know, the more severe early neonatal presentation of Lal-D has historically been called Wolman's disease. But it really is, as we're learning, it is just one of along a spectrum of conditions with Lal-D. And I think this really highlights part of the challenges of screening. You know, certainly, because this condition can affect people of all ages from infancy through adulthood, you know, the provider has to be very mindful at what point in time and in which conditions or which symptoms do you see to really think about screening. Early on in the natal period, children tend to present, like I mentioned, with more severe symptoms, such as progressive liver disease, and that absolutely needs to be diagnosed as soon as possible. And many of these children may end up needing a liver transplant if we don't identify and initiate treatment soon enough.
Now, you mentioned that you did your training at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, where your focus of research was Alagille syndrome. And in that context, you looked at factors that impacted clinical outcome for people with this disease. How does that compare to Lal-D in terms of severity and prevalence?
Well, you know, I mean, certainly Alagille syndrome is a different pediatric liver disease, but there are many similarities in terms of just the wide range of spectrum of disease severity. Similar to Alagille syndrome, Lal-D can have very mild symptoms in which people may go undetected and not knowing that they have Lal-D to the younger children, which I had mentioned, with more severe disease in which you may need a transplant. So I think this really causes a clinical challenge amongst providers because some of the main symptoms that you might see as you get older that would make you suspect a storage disorder like Lal-D would be conditions like, you know, if you have hepatosplenomegaly, if you have fatty liver or elevated fatty liver in someone who isn't obese, those are probably two of the more common presenting symptoms that would trigger one to consider Lal-D on that differential.
You mentioned the necessity of liver transplant for some children. On the other side of the coin, though, genetic testing may lead to conditions where people who get liver transplants who didn't really need them. Is that also a possibility?
So I think specifically with Lal-D, we're learning. I think what's exciting about Lal-D in particular is the presence of enzyme replacement therapy that theoretically, if you replace the deficient enzyme, you know, that can actually help improve a lot of the underlying liver symptoms and potentially could also prevent the need for transplant. And so I think, you know, what you're alluding to is, you know, earlier diagnosis or being able to accurately diagnose Lal-D and potentially getting them on treatment that may actually help with the overall management. You know, if you look at the studies, you know, treating with enzyme replacement helps improve liver enzyme levels, helps decrease the overall total cholesterol and triglyceride levels. And these are all contributors to progression of a disease.
Not everybody who has LALD will necessarily progress to a more severe form of it.
I think we're still learning about the natural history of this condition. I think the typical presentation in people who have less severe disease conditions is that, you know, you might pick this up because you had screening cholesterol levels, and that might have triggered evaluation for liver enzymes, which were elevated. And then that led to a liver biopsy, which showed fatty liver, which then gets you to, you know, this potential diagnosis of LALD. And so that's one way that a patient might end up coming under the attention of a provider, that LALD could be a diagnosis that's contributing to their symptoms. And I think that's what really presents the challenge, is because just if you look at, you know, how many people have high cholesterol in general, that could be its own isolated condition. And for the challenge facing the provider is that you have to say, here's a patient with high cholesterol or high lipids. How do I go from high triglycerides? How do I go from here to say, you might be someone who has LALD, when, you know, just by looking at the general prevalence of some of these conditions, high cholesterol, high lipids is a much more prevalent condition than LALD.
You mentioned the development of an enzyme replacement therapy. And last question along with that is, what's the potential for gene therapy, CRISPR technology, to develop a one-time treatment so that a patient does not have to take enzyme replacement therapy for the rest of their lives?
Yeah, so I mean, I think that's a great question. And so what I would say is, in the enzyme replacement in question, that's the sebalipase alpha, or Kanuma, that is FDA approved. So it is a management option that we have for the treatment of LALD. And I think it is one that we are starting to use, you know, in patients with LALD. The second part of your question about, you know, using CRISPR technology and just really thinking about, you know, gene therapy in a sense, I think that's a wonderful concept and something that we certainly need more research on to really understand, you know, can this provide the treatment or the cure that we're looking for? I mean, certainly, you know, enzyme replacement is saying, you know, let's give you the enzyme that you're not making. But if you could do gene therapy and just have your body be able to naturally make the deficient enzyme, theoretically, that would be a much cleaner method of replacing the enzyme.
Dr. Lin, we're out of time. Thank you very much for speaking with us. This is Larry Luxner, Rare Disease Advisor.
Be sure to follow the latest news, perspectives, and clinical resources on rare diseases at rarediseaseadvisor.com. Thank you for listening.